Hi, this is Yitz Novak. We are studying Masechta Bava Basra, and we are in Perek Tes, Mishnah Hey. We are in the ninth Perek, the fifth Mishnah. So, in the times of the Gemara and the Mishnah, there was two parts of marriage. There was Irisin, the betrothal state, and Nisuin, which is the actual part of the, which is the actual wedding ceremony. They were separated by upwards of a year, and once the Erusin was done, the couple was legally bound, and rules of get and other things apply. And one of the traditions that was done at the time of Erusin, when the girl was still living at her father's house, is the groom would send some presents. If this marriage is dissolved before the Nisuin, so this mission is going to discuss whether or not the groom can claim to be repaid for the gifts that he had sent. Hashalach sivlanos lebeis chamev. If somebody sends wedding gifts to his father-in-law's house, shalach, they were sent, sham mea mana, for, there was 100 mana there, v'acha sham sudas chasen afilu b'dinar, eno nigwan. There's 100 mana, and he eats a dinar, so there's a lot there, and he eats a little bit. Once he is taking part, then he can't collect. If the Erusin is broken off, he can't collect anything. However, lo achav sham sudas chasan ha'elu nigban. If he did not eat a groom's meal there, then they can be reclaimed. That's the first case. Second part, shalach sivlanos merubin sheyachzuri malaves bala. If he sent many wedding gifts on the understanding that they return with her to her husband's house when they eventually get married, ha'elu nigban. These are going to be collected if they would be broken off. Sivonos mu'aten shishtamesh bahen besavya enigbad. And it was wedding gifts that were sent with the intention for her to use them in her father's house and not necessarily brought over to them when they create their new home together. In the event that the wedding is called off, he can't collect those. That's the end of Mishnah Hay. Mishnah Vav is dealing with a Shchivmara. Shchivmara is somebody who is on their deathbed, about to die, and whether or not, in general, a transfer of ownership needs a kinyan, a formal act of acquisition to make the transfer take place. However, somebody who's dying is a shchivmara, somebody who's on their deathbed, they can give oral instructions that can have the validity of a transaction without the act of acquisition, the kinyan. This ultimately, whatever the stipulation is made, takes effect when the person passes away, as opposed to a regular transaction which takes effect immediately. Okay, so the mission begins. Shchiv mira, shekasov kol nechasov la'achirim. Somebody is on their deathbed and they write all of their property to other people. V'shiyar karka kol shehu matanoso kayemas. As long as they keep a piece of property in their possession, so that there is something to be given off to their inheritors, then the gift of all of the other property that's being given to the others counts. However, in case where Loshia Karka calls you a matanaso kayemes, if the person who's dying doesn't leave over any piece of property, then the present doesn't get off the ground. Matanaso kayemes and a matanaso kayemes would refer, say he's a shrivna, he's about to die, but somehow miraculously he recovers from his illness. So in the case where he leaves over a kol shehu, he leaves over a piece of property at all, then even if he gets better, the gift is still valid. Because the fact that he retained some of his possessions and didn't distribute them all, raises the possibility that he assumed that he was going to survive a little bit. There was a small chance, and therefore he would need something. However, in a case where he gives everything away, and he indeed doesn't die, giving everything away, he's assuming he's going to die, but he doesn't die. Therefore, the whole thought process, this whole transaction of shchiv mara, doesn't really get off the ground, because he didn't really want to give it away. He only wanted to give it away if he was going to die. And he didn't die. And because this transaction only occurs, or actually works when he dies, then it really didn't work out and doesn't get transferred over. Next part of the Mishnah. Lo kasav bashchiv mera. If he did not record it in it that he was a shchiv mera, and who omer shchiv mera have, and he said that he was sick, and v'hein omer beria haba, and the other side says that he was healthy, tzarich l'havi raya shahaya shchiv mera. He'd have to bring a proof that he was on his deathbed, so that he could ultimately recoup the money. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Meir says. Chacham omrim hametz mechaver al raya. Chacham say the opposite. They say that that the retroactive status doesn't remove the property from the shliv mara. So the burden of proof is actually going to rest on the recipients, those who are trying to take the money from the person who got better. And since they'd have to figure out a way to prove it, and since it's going to be hard for them to prove that he was healthy, the burden of proof is on them. If they could prove it, they could prove it. They get it. But it's not on him to prove that he was actually really on his deathbed. And the proof would be on them, according to the Chacham. Obviously, with today's world, where there's perfect medical record keeping, or in many places in the world where there are medical records that are kept, it's not such a complicated thing to do. However, in way back when, they didn't exactly have the medical record possibilities and capabilities that they have today. So it was a little bit different back then. And that's the end of the sixth Mishnah.